The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. As you listen to this sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of his word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. Well, as I said, we're preaching through Psalm 23 today. That was the theme for this past week of VBS. And this is, for sure, one of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture. It probably goes John 3:16, number one, and then after that, it's probably Psalm 23. How many of you, whether or not you grew up in church or have ever memorized Scripture, have heard the phrase or can recite from memory, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? And so my hope today is simply to preach through this passage and see the Lord's glorious truth. And I want to break this down into three sections. So first, in verses 1 through 3, I hope we can see how the Lord, as our good shepherd, leads us down paths of righteousness. Secondly, I hope in verse 4, to show you how our Lord, our good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. And then finally, in verses 5 and 6, I want to show you how our good shepherd guarantees our future. Psalm 23 was written by David, and David himself was a shepherd. So he knows what being a shepherd entails. He knows what it entails being a sheep. He knows the relationship between the two. And so David here in Psalm 23, in saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," he is saying he is relating to the Lord as a sheep would relate to him. He's saying that he himself is a sheep in relationship to the Lord. And now, as we said, David, being a shepherd, knows what this relationship looks like. He knows the details of it, which means he knows that a sheep has a complete and total trust in its shepherd. And so what David is doing by calling himself a sheep and the Lord his shepherd is he is placing himself completely and entirely under the authority of the Lord. He is putting himself under the leadership of Yahweh. And this is what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to be a sheep. Just think of all the times in the New Testament Jesus used sheep analogies or shepherd illustrations. We read one of those just a few moments ago. Peter used one of those in 1 Peter chapter 2 in our call to worship. To be a Christian is to be a sheep, and to be a sheep is to relate to the Lord as our shepherd. It is to come underneath his authority and under his leadership. And so the first thing I want to ask you is your life characterized by a total trust in your shepherd? Jesus says in John 10:27, that's the extended part of the passage we just read, he said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." To be a sheep is to follow Jesus. It is to know his voice. It is to recognize it in his word and to bring yourself under its authority and to follow it. One of the lessons this past week as I taught these kids, I asked them, Jesus is our good shepherd. We talked about that on night one. Well, how does he shepherd us? How does he guide us? I said, is he standing right next to you, telling you where to go and what to do next? How then does Jesus shepherd us? It's through his word. It's in his word that we hear his voice and we follow it. The Lord has his sheep. He knows his sheep. And his sheep know him. And so, church, I ask you this morning, are you following Jesus? Are you relating to the living God as your shepherd? Are you following his word and his voice just as a sheep would follow its shepherd's voice? True sheep are not the ones who merely claim to know the shepherd. True sheep are the ones who actually follow the shepherd? Are you following him this morning? Now, David's complete trust in the Lord and in his shepherding is evident in what he says next. Look at verse 2. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. We love that part, don't we? We love the imagery. I mean, just reading those, it conjures up images in our minds of sitting lakeside on a nice bed of green grass, and you can just imagine the setting, and you just feel the peace wash over you. That's what we all imagine, right? And so we love these verses. I think that's part of what David is getting at here. I think part of what he's doing is talking about those feelings of peace that he experiences as his shepherd leads him, but I think there's more going on here than just talking about the feelings. So remember, David is a shepherd. He knows what sheep need. Well, what do sheep need to survive? They need lots of green grass. They need water. David is not merely talking about feelings of peace here, although I think he is to an extent. He's thinking far more practically as well. He's thinking about how the Lord, as his shepherd, meets his practical needs. He knows what David needs, and he provides for him. You see, shepherds always know the needs of their sheep, and they always have in the sheep's best interest in mind. In fact, the shepherds all about the well-being of the sheep. That is the shepherd's chief aim, to provide for the sheep, to make sure they are cared for, to make sure they have what they need, that they are fed, that they are watered, that they are thriving. Our good shepherd is no different. Yes, he does intend to lead us beside quiet waters. He does intend for us to feel the peace of lounging beside quiet waters in green grass. That is good. But more than that, the Lord has in his mind our ultimate good, our eternal good. You could read Psalm 23:2 and interpret that in a sort of prosperity gospel way, that the Lord, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He will make my life good. He will make it perfect. He will make my life comfortable. But I don't think that is David's main intention. The Lord's intention is to lead the sheep into what they ultimately need. And what they ultimately need is green grass and water. In our lives, that does not mean that following our shepherd always entails that our lives will be comfortable and peaceful and restful. What it does mean is that the Lord is always leading us to that which we need most, to that which we need to survive. Which also means that on the way there, he may lead us through dangers or trials. What must the sheep endure on their way to the green pastures and to the quiet waters? Does this make the shepherd a bad shepherd? Does a good shepherd always keep his sheep perfectly out of danger? No, sometimes he might lead them along treacherous paths, narrow paths, dangerous paths. But yet his intention is always the same. He means to lead them again to that which they need most. And it is the same thing with the Lord, our good shepherd. He knows what we need most, and he is always leading us there, even if that means leading us along treacherous paths, even if that means leading us through trials. Brothers and sisters, your life at this moment may not feel like green pastures and quiet waters. And you might be wondering, when will I experience that part of Psalm 23? I really like that verse 2. I like the green pastures. I like the quiet waters part. When are we going to get there, Lord? And you might be wondering, is the shepherd good? Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Well, it certainly feels like I'm lacking right now. I'm lacking peace, I'm lacking joy, I'm lacking rest. Can I trust him? Does he know what he is doing? Oh, but take heart, my friends. Jesus is the good shepherd. In John 10:10, he has come to bring life to his sheep. And life in the fullest, life in the most abundant. Your trials are not in vain. He is taking you to green waters, green pastures, not green waters. We don't want green waters. Green pastures and quiet waters. That may be in this life, or it may not. It may not be until eternity. When we see at the end where he gives you a place to dwell in the Lord's house forever. But make no mistake, he is leading you to green pastures and to quiet waters. You may just be walking through difficult paths right now. Which leads us to verse 3. Which is another verse we don't talk about too much. Well, again, we love verse 2. We love the green pastures, the quiet waters. But what about verse 3? He refreshes my soul. That sounds nice, doesn't it? But how about the next part? He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I like the way the ESV translates this. It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. I think in verse 3, David is further defining verse 2. So we know verse 2, that he makes us lie down in green pastures, leads us to quiet waters, but I think verse 3 tells us how we get there. His intention is to lead us to that which we need most, which again means that on the way there, he will lead us along certain paths. What are those paths? They are, verse 3, paths of righteousness. Our good shepherd's greatest concern is not our earthly comfort. And so if you are not experiencing a great deal of comfort in your life right now, it is not that the shepherd is not good. It's that he has a greater concern in mind. Our shepherd's greater concern is the eternal comfort that we will experience in our Father's house, in his dwelling place. His greatest concern is not that we would have easy lives here and now, but that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is our good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. He did not lay down his life for you to ensure that you would have a comfortable life. He laid down his life for you to ensure that you would have an eternal dwelling place in the holy and righteous presence of the Lord forever. And what is that dwelling place? It's a place of righteousness. And therefore, every person who will go there, who will live there forever and dwell there, must also be righteous. But don't worry, Jesus has taken care of all of that. He has taken care of the righteousness we need. He has supplied in his own perfect life the righteousness we need to enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember a few times in Jesus' life in the Gospels, they would question, why are you doing this? It was when he went to be baptized. John the Baptist said, no, no, you need to be baptizing me. And Jesus' words said, no, this is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. What did he mean by that? He meant this, that what Jesus' life was all about was fulfilling righteousness. He had to live out a righteous life on behalf of his sheep. He had to accomplish the righteousness of his sheep so that one day, when they would go to enter the Father's kingdom, they would have a perfect righteousness to claim on their account. So Romans 4:25 says, he, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, we've learned the word justification before. Here's a quick review. Justification means that a state of righteousness has been imputed or credited to our accounts, so that we now, by faith in Jesus, have a status, a standing before God of righteous. We have been declared eternally just or right in His eyes. Jesus has done this for His sheep in laying His life down for them, in living a perfect life, in rising again. He has accomplished our righteousness, our justification. In other words, He has secured our spot in the Father's righteous eternal dwelling place. But that's the beginning of the work. That's when you first trusted in Christ as your Savior. The good news is Philippians 1:6, that He who began a good work in you is now bringing it to completion and will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Well, what is that good work He is doing? He is now actually making us righteous in our daily lives. This is a process called sanctification. Justification guarantees our eternal inheritance. Sanctification now is the process by which our good shepherd is preparing us to enter the Father's righteous dwelling place. And our good shepherd's ultimate concern is our eternal good, that you and I would be made ready to enter this place of righteousness, that we would be made ready to inherit that which is already ours by faith. So what is God's will for your life? What is He doing in your life this very moment, even as you walk through trials? 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is God's will, your sanctification. That is God's great concern for you, that you would be sanctified, that you would be made more righteous, that you would be conformed into the image of Christ and made like Him, that day by day you would be renewed in the image of your Creator, so that you are prepared to enter His righteous presence for all eternity. That process will not be completed in this life. 1 John says that will happen the day we see Him face to face. We will see Him and we will be made like Him. But in the meantime, now He is working all things to make you more like Christ. He is leading you down paths of righteousness. That is what God is doing in your life. If your life is not comfortable, if it is not easy, you might wonder, Lord, what are you doing? What He's doing is leading you down a path of righteousness. He is making you more like Christ. Why don't my kids listen to me? Why is my marriage so hard? Why is my boss mean to me? Why are my finances difficult? Why is this bad thing happening? Why am I sick? Why is my spouse sick? Why did this loved one die? What we know for sure is this, is that in all of those things, the Lord is leading us down paths of righteousness. And He is using that to conform us into the image of Christ Himself. And so, brothers and sisters, take heart. He only intends to lead us to green pastures and quiet waters. And in fact, He's so committed to our eternal good that He lays down His life for His sheep. This is verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Again, David is a shepherd. He knows how this works. He knows that sheep don't find themselves in the valley of the shadow of death on their own. They're there because the shepherd has led them there. He knows that the paths of righteousness lead through the valley of the shadow of death on their way to the green pastures and to the quiet waters. And yet he says we need not fear the valley of the shadow of death. And we need not fear because our shepherd is with us, with His rod and with His staff, comforting us, fending off enemies, keeping us near from wandering off into danger. Our good shepherd is leading us even as we walk through the dark valleys. But consider just for a moment how Jesus came to lead us. Do you remember how God led the Israelites out of Egypt? It was a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke, right? Which is glorious. Let's make no mistake about that. A giant pillar of fire and smoke that would go before the Israelites, that would go behind them to defend them from the Egyptians. It would lead them. It would illuminate their path. That's glorious, but it's distant. It's transcendent. It's hard to comprehend. How do you wrap your mind around a God who shows up in a pillar of fire and smoke? Oh, but in the person of Jesus, God becomes knowable, intelligible, something we can wrap our minds around. He comes not as a pillar of fire and smoke, but as a person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and He was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came not as some vague, shadowy figure, but He came as a man, as God in the flesh, to actually live out life with His sheep and then to lead them Himself. He left His throne in heaven. He took on flesh. He became a man. He lived among His sheep, and then He led them. And then He led them directly into the valley of the shadow of death. He did not shy away from the valley. He walked directly into it. Do you remember His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed, "Father, if there is any other way, take this cup from me. Let this cup pass. Lord, I know you've charged me from eternity past to lead my sheep to green pastures, to quiet waters in your presence. I'm doing that. And Lord, we're coming up to the valley. If there's another way, Lord, let me see it. Lead me there." And God said, "There's no other way. You must walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And then He did it. He walked directly into the valley. He laid His life down for His sheep. It was on the cross that Jesus said, "Not me, not my own life, but that of my sheep." He said, "The valley of the shadow of death will not swallow them up, but it will swallow me up so that they can go free." It was on that cross that the good shepherd laid down His life for His sheep, where He was swallowed up by death. And just imagine how His sheep felt, how His disciples felt standing there, witnessing the whole thing, like sheep without a shepherd. What do we do now? Here we are, the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. Death is closing around in on us. Our shepherd's just been swallowed up by it. Where do we go? And what do? We're trapped. We're lost. We're hopeless. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Yes, Jesus, our good shepherd, was swallowed up by death, but the story ends not with Him being swallowed up by death, but with Himself swallowing up death. For on the third day, He rose again, achieving victory over death. And in so doing, He made a way for all His sheep. He made the valley of the shadow of death passable for you and me. Death hangs over us every day, the threat of death. This week, I asked kids one night, "What do you fear?" And most of them said, you know, the dark, spiders, things like that. A few kids were honest enough to say, "Death." And I said, "Yes, amen. That's the fear that hangs over all of us." Brothers and sisters, there is only one way to make it safely through the valley of the shadow of death. That is by following the good shepherd who now holds the keys of death and Hades in His hand. Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. He is the way and the truth and the life. And now He guarantees that all His sheep will be led to the quiet waters and green pastures of His Father's house. Look at verses 5 and 6. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus, as our good shepherd, does what no other human leader can do. He guarantees the outcome for his people. Parents can't do that. Coaches can't do that. Teachers can't do that. We, us leaders at VBS, can't do that for our kids. Pastors can't do that. None of us have the power, the ability to guarantee the outcome for those under our care. But listen to what Jesus says in John 10, 27 and 28. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." We could spend forever talking about this John 10 passage. But what Jesus teaches in John 10, he says, "My Father, I have sheep. My Father, from eternity past, has given me sheep. And I have been charged with bringing those sheep home." And he says, "Now I've come, and I lay my life down for my sheep. And my sheep know my voice. They hear me, they follow me. And all of my sheep, those for whom I have died, none of them will perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." He is saying, all of my sheep will arrive home safely. Not one of them will be lost. When Jesus died on the cross, when he laid down his life for his sheep, he didn't die merely to make it possible for all his sheep to get to heaven. But he actually purchased their entire way there. It's like if you are ever offered a trip with all expenses paid. I've never been on an all expenses paid trip. I've been on a some expenses paid, where someone said, we'll pay for your stay, we'll pay for your food, you just pay to get here. Or they'll say, we'll pay for you to get here, and then you pay for your food. Right? That's not what Jesus has done. He has not paid for part of the way to the Father's house. He has paid for it all. That's what we sing when we sing, "Jesus paid it all." He didn't, on the cross, pay 50% of the way. He didn't pay 75% of the way. He didn't even pay 99% of the way, but Jesus paid it all. On the cross, Jesus purchased the eternal salvation of his sheep. So you may be walking through trials. You may be suffering. You may be struggling with sin. You may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death itself. You may be surrounded by enemies wondering, where is God in all of this? Where is my good shepherd? Well, where is he? What is he doing? He is leading you through paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He laid down his life for you to guarantee you the eternal salvation of your soul. He has gone before you into the presence of the Father to set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He has a room, a reservation with your name on it. A reservation that he wrote down with his own blood, and it is there waiting for you. And so, brothers and sisters, at the end of days, when we get there, we will step into the Lord's presence and we will find a place at the table set before us, and we will find a room with our name on it. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want.
You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.